Let us turn again to the chapter that we read, Proverbs chapter 17 and at verse 17. We'll consider this verse, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Well, friendship is a great gift from God Himself. And especially in a time of adversity, when things go wrong. But we need friends that can help us. And if we consider our position as sinners, you need to get through this world and get through death and reach heaven at last. If we are to be delivered from adversity and the causes of adversity, it's a supernatural friend that we need. A friend that can love us at all times. That's a wonderful thing. We have people who love us in this world. Parents, for instance. And a mother in particular puts herself out to look after her little children. She is full of love to them. But the mother may be taken away. But what we need is a friend that will never be taken away. And that friend can only be Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. Who came that he might be a brother to sinners. Sinners adopted into the family of the Father. And so he is a brother. Yes, a brother who can never die. A brother who is always able to love and to care for those who have been adopted into the family. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother, that's better. These are the normal things. A brother born for adversity. Though sometimes in a family there are disputes and a falling out, and they're no longer friends. That can happen. It's not the normal situation. And it's certainly not the situation in the family of God. It's not that all of God's children will get on together very well. Not all of them. But you see, when the people of God are brought into the eternal world, there'll be no problems then. There'll be no falling out then. There will be permanent love. What we have before us here in the text is what's normal. But in this world, things may be abnormal. And we should be asking the Lord to give us a spirit of love to those in our families, and even more, that we would be brought into the family of God, and that we would have a consistent love to all that are in that family. But I have three main points this evening. The first is that man's natural condition is that he is without a sure friend. People may have many friends, but none of them can be relied on. We need Christ. who is reliable, perfectly so. And then the second thing is this, there is one who is a friend or a brother indeed. Yes, Christ. That's the friend we need. That's the friend we should be looking for. That's the friend we should be seeking. And then the third point is that he loves at all times, even in adversity. First, that in man's natural condition, he is without a sure friend. Second, there is one who can be a friend or a brother indeed. And then in the third place, this friend loves at all times, even in adversity. Well, first of all, man's fallen condition, when he is without a sure friend, when Adam and Eve were created, they had an unfailing friend. Yes, the one that created them and the one that loved them. And the one to whom they could go. And the one who is coming to us. To them, I should say. It seems to have been a regular thing for the Lord to come into the garden in the cool of the day. And he came again after the fall. Yes. And they were no longer friends. Adam and Eve were running away from the one who had been their dependable friend. Yes. A friend who loved them at all times, consistently, seeking the best for them, giving them the best situation. And assuring them, no doubt, of his love and care for them. But then, Adam and Eve broke off the friendship under the influence of the evil one. And you see, when the Lord came into the garden, they ran away from him. He was no longer their friend. They didn't feel friendship for him. And they weren't as they had been between themselves. You see, when Adam was challenged about eating the forbidden fruit, he was blaming his wife. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. She gave me from the tree, fruit from the tree. It was all her fault, you see. They were no longer friends. Well, you see, that's how it is. They fell. Though they had the gospel preached to them. One would assume that they obtained mercy, that leaving that just now, they were not treating them each other as they might have done. You see, it wasn't a kind act, it wasn't a loving act for Eve to have given Adam the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they were forbidden to eat. That wasn't a loving act. But she was acting under the influence of sin now that she had fallen herself. And that's how it is down through the generations. All the descendants were fallen. All their descendants. I hardly need to mention that The Savior was, of course, an exception. He had no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was perfect. But what I'm speaking about is Adam and Eve's ordinary descendants. Born into this world under a broken covenant of works. And they have no friend that they can depend on being a permanent friend. And there's adversity. There's the example given in Genesis 3 of the thorns and the fists, the thistles. You see, in connection with agricultural society, they would be tilling the ground. And it's not just the crops that they wanted to grow that would spring up from the ground. There were the weeds too. Thorns and thistles, you see. That's it. It's like that today. Farmers know that well enough. We all know it. But it's just an example of adversity. We need a friend. We need a permanent friend. And especially when we suffer the effects of sin, when we are fallen creatures, we need a friend that will stick closer than a brother. We have a brother mentioned. A brother is born for adversity, but we need a closer friend that can deliver us from sin, from its power, from its guilt. One who can provide for all our needs. One who can be our friend in all sorts of adversity. Yes, that's what Christ is. A friend that loves at all times. A friend who has said to his children, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the kind of friend we need. Perhaps somebody is very ill, has a visitor. Perhaps that's not a common thing for that person to have a visitor. And this visitor comes and is about to leave. And the ill person says, I wish you could stay. I get terribly lonely. Well, you see, here's a friend. Perhaps I should leave it till the next point. A friend. That's what we need. A friend who will never leave us. A friend who will never forsake us. And you see, what is said in Psalm 10, that the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. In other words, God is not in any of his thoughts. And yet, that's a friend that person needs. But he is not in the thoughts of the ungodly. We need that friend. Are we thinking about him? Are we seeking after him? Are we asking him to come where we are and remain with us? And that's his promise, as I've just quoted. The Savior saying, I will never leave thee. Who's he saying that? Those who have believed in him. Those who have put their trust in him. He's saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What a friend. And you see, the visitor I've just referred might be willing enough to wait, but explains, I've got to go home. There's children to look after. There's a meal to be prepared, and so on. Yes, but here's a friend, an omnipotent friend, an all-powerful friend, who can attend to any number of things at once. And if we're speaking about Christ in particular, Christ in his divine nature is able to attend to any number of people at once, to make intercession at once for any number of people. Oh, do we need that friend? A friend who can represent us before God. A friend who can present our petitions. Yes, how wonderful that friend is. And you see, you have what the Savior told about Lazarus and the rich man. And you see, the rich man was sent away to a lost eternity. He didn't make Christ his friend. Lazarus did. And Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom, into heaven, in other words. And the rich man in a lost eternity, where there is no friendship, he asked that Abram would send Lazarus to the rich man's family home. He had five brothers still there, and he could go, the rich man thought. Lazarus could go, and he didn't want the brothers to come into this place of torment. He didn't want them with him. He wanted them to learn the gospel. But you see, the answer was, that's not the way people escape the place of torment. That's not the way. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the scriptures. Let them hear them. Let them learn what the scripture says. And if we are thinking of some way of our own of escaping the place of torment, you see, that's the answer. We have the Bible. Let us use the Bible. Let us use all the means of grace. Let us use the preaching of the word. Let us ask the Lord to bless the preaching to us so that we might find the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let us seek. In the right way, in the way God has appointed. You see, that's a good way. Given that God has appointed it, it's a good way. Let us ask for mercy in the way that God has appointed, through Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. And there's no other Savior, there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is all of grace in the way that the Lord is appointed. May we get grace to submit to that way so that we might have a friend who will never leave us. Now the second thing is this, and I've trespassed on that already, if trespass is the right word. There is a friend, a brother, indeed. A friend who will never leave us. One who will be our friend forever and ever. If we first find him. If we find him. And take him as our friend, our brother, by God's grace. Yes, we will have him forever. Remember the promise. The friend is saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It would be something unreasonable for a mere human being to say to a friend. It very likely will not always be possible. The friend may have to go to hospital, say, perhaps very suddenly. But, you see, we need a friend who will never have to leave us. A friend who is God and man. A friend who can show us friendship consistently, always. A friend who came into the world to save sinners. And we read of him on the cross and he saw his seed. He was looking at those in his mind, looking at them, thinking over them. In his infinite divine mind, those that he had come into the world to save. And yes, in his gracious, loving human mind also, he was prepared to give his life and to suffer all that he had to suffer so that there might be salvation for his friends. Perhaps they weren't yet born. Many of them, very many of them were not. And even when they were going on in sin, you see, he was watching over them. And he will be watching over people today who are to be brought into his kingdom. He will watch over those in days to come who are to be brought into his kingdom. He will watch over them even when they are still going on in sin. Yes, he has a care for them. And whatever he may allow them to do, he will preserve them in life until he reveals himself to them as a savior. Yes, there is a friend. A friend who will never allow his sheep to perish. You see, what is said in Isaiah unto us, and it's in prophecy, you see, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child born into this world, taking human nature. Yes. And even back in Isaiah's time, and even back in Adam's time, this child, the one who was to come into the world as a child, he was loving. He had a love for sinners, and he was showing them mercy. He was keeping them and caring for them, and revealing salvation to them. Revealing to them the way of salvation. Yes. And a son was given. The Son of God. It was the Son of God who came into the world. Yes. Oh, how we should say if we have found this friend. And to us a child is born. And to us a son is given. And the government should be upon his shoulder and so on. He is the great king. He is ruling over everything. And as the friend who has drawn sinners to himself, as their friend, he is ruling over everything for their good. He is ruling over everything for their good. Even when adversity comes, even when difficulties come, he is ruling over these adversities for the good of his children. Now you see, when we look at it, look at these matters purely as adversity. When somebody gets ill, when somebody is badly treated by another person, we might look at these things and suffer. We might feel the awfulness and perhaps the apparent injustice or the real injustice on the human level of these adversities. But let us take another look. If we are among God's children, let us take another look and see the government is upon his shoulder, or shoulders. He is ruling. He is bearing the reins of government. He will carry out everything in the way that is according to his purpose. He will ensure in his administration of government, he will make sure that all things will work for all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see his friendship. You see his brotherliness. Those who have believed in Christ are adopted into God's family. They are brought into God's family. And here is the elder brother. And what a brother. He is the brother who is the Son of God. But these, and that is how it has been from all eternity, now it will ever be, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, a true Son. But then there are others, and there will be a multitude that no one can number. And they are adopted into the family, and they have this brother. The brother who will take care of them all. The brother who will not suffer any of them to perish. The brother who will show his love to them to the end of their lives in this world and then on into eternity. And you can say of him, this brother loves at all times, and this brother was born for adversity. There's the ordinary smoothness of life, at some times at least. And there's the time of adversity when we need a brother who will never die. When we need a brother who will always be within reach. You see, that's a great matter when people are in need, that they would have someone to call on. Even if they have to shout downstairs, come and help me. But you see, Christ, that's the view that the people of God are to take. Christ is always within reach. We can almost cry to him. And he is bound to hear. The person downstairs, in my illustration, mightn't always hear. The person might be deaf. Hearing may be failing. And perhaps rather far away to hear very successfully. It's never like that. In crying out to the Savior, the Comforter, the one who sticks closer than a brother. The one who loves at all times. It would seem when Lazarus's sisters were in adversity that the Savior did not hear. They sent him a message, and he didn't come. At least he didn't come for a few days. But for all that he heard, yes, he knew, he understood, he loved. He loved them still, and he was going at the best time. Isn't that how it is, that when the Lord is going to give deliverance to his friends, his brothers, who are in adversity, he will come at the best time. The time that is best for those who are in adversity, who are in difficult circumstances, for whom everything seems to be going the wrong way. Seems to be. But all things work together for good, yes, in all their details, to them that love God. Yes, that's the brother we need. That's the brother that the people of God have. Let us learn to come closer to him, to keep closer to him. I was tempted to say to stay within earshot. Well, that might be true as far as we are concerned. But the Lord Jesus is never out of earshot. He always hears. He may not always answer immediately, but there's an answer of some kind. And the answer that he gives will be the best kind of answer. We need such a brother. We need such a friend. And we should ask ourselves, are we going to him? You see, here's his friendship. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, even when they were still sinners, but they were in the covenant. They had been chosen, and he died. And even when they would be running this way and that way, away from God, going after the vanities of this world, there was a restraint. That's not very obviously, but there was a restraint. And he brought them to himself in the fullness of time. And it was a good time. Perhaps looking at the foolishness and the unbelief of the sinner, you might say it wasn't a good time. But as far as the Lord and his glory, and the glory of saving that sinner, as far as that was concerned, it was a good time. It was the time. It was a time when he could show to advantage his own glory in the salvation of sinners. Yes, the friend, what did he do? He died in the place of his people, those who were to be saved. He died, and perhaps it's particularly in connection with that generation, Paul's generation, that he says this particularly, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yes. But still, you see, when believers of this generation were not in existence, before ever they had believed, there was the work of salvation ready for them. The work of salvation had been completed. The work of redemption, it had been completed. When they had no strength, before they had an existence even, and Christ died. He died for them. You see, Peter says, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. the just one, the eternally just one, suffered for those who were to be his friends. Yes. He died for them, that he might bring them to God, that he might reconcile them to God. And that's what he is doing, you see, in connection with the preaching of the gospel to one extent or another. That's what he is doing. He is calling sinners to himself. Yes, he sends his word and heals them. He applies the word to them. They are brought to see themselves as sinners, and they are brought to see him as a perfect Savior who had done all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. That's it. You see, the friend who gives himself a ransom for many, what is to be testified in due time. That's what we're trying to set before you. Yes, the friend that came into the world to save sinners, and that coming into the world brought him very low. It brought him under the guilt of all their sins. It was all laid upon him so that he might suffer unto death, and that he might bear the sin away, and that when grace is given to them to believe in the friend, then they are saved. He becomes their friend. They are brought into the relation of brother by adoption. How close that relationship is. How wonderful that relationship is. Yes. And he will be with them. He will be their brother forever and ever. Yes, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. That's the blessedness of what Christ has done. There's a provision. There's a great, a perfect provision. Yes. And let us try to stress further that he loves at all times, even in adversity. The one that said and still says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And there's this, as you have it, in Isaiah chapter 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The waters of adversity. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle on thee. Whatever the adversity may be, they will be brought through. You see, the good shepherd will take his sheep by the hand, so to speak. Yes, it's mixing up the figures we have, but never mind. You see, those people who are represented by sheep, Christ takes them by the hand. That's to separate it out, and probably unnecessary. He will never leave them. He will never leave them to themselves. He will never leave them to the evil one. That's it. He will never leave. He will be with. He will take care of them. He will bring them at last to the heaven above. He will bring them at last to the heaven above. Place of perfect safety. A place where there is no adversity. A place where there is no sin. And let us remember that sin is the cause of adversity. It's because there is sin in the world that there is adversity in the world. That's it. See what Adam did and Eve. What evil they brought upon this world. And what evil many a one has brought in this world, under their own section of it. But you see, there is a deliverer. A one who is a friend. A friend for those who trust. A friend for those who have believed on it. Yes. But you see, his love. Sin itself cannot turn away that love. What about the sin of Peter's denial? The Lord looked upon Peter. It was a very solemn look, I'm sure. But for all that, there was love in it too. There was love in it because he did not cast Peter off. But he brought him back. He gave the Holy Spirit to work repentance in his soul. He even brought him back into the family of disciples. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Yes, a brother loveth at all times. Wasn't it good that Peter got to know that brother? Yes. Wasn't it good that Peter, by God's grace, made a friend of Christ? Isn't it good for yourself, if that is true of you, that you have made a friend of Christ and you have taken him as your brother? God has made you willing. The Holy Spirit has so wrought in your heart. And you see how God's love to sinners, Christ's love to sinners, is illustrated in the relationship between Joseph and his brethren, that when he had made himself known to them, he told them, "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." God meant it for good. Even all the wickedness that there was in the crucifixion of Christ and the rejection of Christ, God meant it for good. It was in that way that salvation was to be provided for sinners. God meant it for good. Yes. That he might be a brother. That he might be a friend to a multitude that no one can number. That's it. That he might be a friend, an everlasting friend. Oh, will you not look to him yourself? Will you not look to this brother, whatever afflictions you may experience in this world? Will you not seek grace to seek Christ, to have Christ as your friend? A friend that will love at all times. A friend that will be with you all the way through all the difficulties of this world until he will bring you at last to eternal glory. Yes. And you see, an example of the love between Christ's brethren in Ruth's relationship to Naomi. And when in particular she said, "Entreat me not to leave me, or to return from following after thee. Yes, thy people shall be my people." Isn't that it? Thy people, God's people. That's what the friends are wanting. They want to have Christ's friends as their friends, as their people. They have They no longer have the same degree of closeness to other people in this world. They want to be close to the people of God. And of course, to have Christ himself as their brother. Or to put it in Ruth's language, and thy God, my God, thy God, Naomi's God, she wanted to be her God. Well, there's Christ as the great friend. There's all the other people of God as friends. Not that they know them all by any means. Not that they might be able to recognize them all as the children of God. We're limited. But you see, there's those we believe to be God's friends. And we would wish them to be our people, not the people of the world, though we're not going to turn away from ungodly relations or people like that. But you see, the great matter is to have friends that we will never be separated from, that death itself will never separate us from. You see, if we are brought into the kingdom of God, if we have Christ as our friend, if we have Christ as the one who will make intercession for us, then how encouraging these words in Hebrews 4 should be for us. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, tempted in all points, experiencing adversity, like we do ourselves, though who can measure the adversity that came against Christ when he was in this world. But you see, what follows on from what I have quoted in from Hebrews, it's this: let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. There's a way open. A way has been opened. Christ is the intercessor. Let us come with our petitions for ourselves, for others in our family, for the cause of Christ in this world, which will be dear to us if we have come to Christ, if we are in his family, if we have him as our brother, then his cause will be precious to us. Let us come for all these things. Let us come for the good of our nation. Let us come for the good of all the various parts of the world. Let us come asking that the gospel would be spread everywhere, that the great King of Kings would send out laborers into his harvest. Let us pray in connection with these things. Let us seek grace to pray. Let us seek the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of prayer, so that we, for Christ's sake, that we may be able to pray. But you see, let us remember this. From Psalm 62, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And we might apply that, first of all, to the people of God. They are to go on trusting in him at all times. They are to go on considering him as a friend, as a brother. They are to pour out their heart before him. For God is a refuge, and Christ is a refuge, a suitable refuge, a perfect refuge. And What about those who are not as yet anyway, the people of God? The call is still to trust in him, to look to him, to believe in him who came into the world to save sinners. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before God is a refuge for us. Whatever we are, however guilty we may be, however much we need a friend, however much we need a friend who will save us, who will deliver us. And you have Christ. Christ said before you at any rate, take as a Savior suitable for you. Ask him to be your friend. Ask him to deliver you. Ask him to draw you by his almighty power. Ask him to become a brother to you. Ask him to become a friend to you that will never leave you nor forsake you. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, we are poor in need. We need Christ. Oh, give him to us as a friend. Give him to us as a brother. Give him to us as a Savior. A deliverer from the wrath to come. Oh, how much we deserve the wrath to come. But do thou deliver us. Pardon us and bless us and keep us and make us thankful. Do wonderful things in us and for us. Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. O Lord, meet with us. Bless what is done in thy name everywhere. Pardon us, keep us, and care for us. Be thou our God and guide forever. Pity us thyself. Wash away all our sin. Be our God and guide forever. Do us good. For Jesus' sake. Amen.